If you're the leader, part of your job is to make sure that everyone on the team feels valued and valuable. Hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, I interview peak-performing world changers in the creative, social impact, and vegan spaces. If you like what you hear on this episode, you're going to want to check out the bonus mini-episode that you can access if you DM me, at IsoldeT on Instagram, and you let me know you want it. You'll get access to bonus episodes, new art, my latest writing, and other fun benefits. And now, let's get to the show. There and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. I want to talk about leadership today, right? Let's say you are a leader of a group or a company or an organization or a creative team, whatever it is that you're a leader of, or you want to be a leader of one, and you want to be innovative in your approach, right? So how can leadership lead to innovative practices in any group, organization, or company? What does the leader need to do to make sure that that happens? And I've been giving this a lot of thought as the leader of several groups, particularly the Philosopher's Tones, which is a creative group, right? We are holiday carolers, so inherently what we do is creative. And yet, it can get stale, right? As the leader, you're kind of going, wait, not that there's anything wrong with anything any of the singers are doing. Please don't get me wrong. They're amazing. But if my leadership is getting stale, if I'm not looking to see what's on the cutting edge or what can be on the cutting edge, then I'm the one who has to sort of take myself in hand and figure out what I need to do in order to push some of those boundaries. Now, if you're a leader and you don't want to, if you feel like, hey, you know what, I'm sort of clipping along and not much has to change, good for you. That's great. But if you are someone who wants to push those limits to try new things, and you have people who are looking to you for leadership in doing that, then you're going to need to think differently. And you know me, whenever I talk about thinking differently, I'm talking about thinking creatively. But here's the thing. If you're the leader, you're not the only one who has to think creatively, right? In order to get the best out of the people you're working with, you need to lead them to a place where they feel comfortable and confident and curious enough to think creatively too. Such a huge, huge thing. So then the question is, how do you do it? Well, first of all, as I said, your people need to feel confident. If they don't feel confident pushing limits in what they're doing, they're not going to do it. They're going to sort of sit there and go, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm going to keep my head down, and I'm not going to worry about it. Ah. And that works if you don't want the status quo to change. Be careful of stagnation, though. But if you do, if you want to keep pushing those limits, as I said, then, hey, why not do some things with your people that will help them elevate their level of confidence in trying new things. And I've talked about this before. You can have a suggestion jar, absolutely. But what about the idea of having some sort of an activity where you do things together to supercharge creativity? And when a company hires me, for example, I come in and we can do fun writing exercises where we all work as a group to come up with the wildest and wackiest stories. Or in my Work in Harmony workshop, I get them all singing in 3-part harmony before an hour has passed, right? Even people who are terrified of singing will do it and will be amazed at what they can achieve. And some of that is great teamwork building, right? Because they're working together to do something super creative. And one person might stand out as the amazing singer in the group, but they're all working together to come up with the harmony. That's the thing. A single singer cannot make beautiful harmony. It takes a group. It takes a team. So building their level of confidence in trying new things by hiring somebody to do a workshop or a team building exercise or an icebreaker or have a coffee, a party where people can make their own kinds of different coffees or have a pastry making part, whatever it is, if you have the resources, great. One of the things that I've done, I've encouraged people to do a bake sale. Like, everybody brings in something they have baked, and you don't sell it, you just pass it around. Now, COVID makes things a little bit harder, but what if you did that? What if you were to encourage people to bring a potluck and bring their signature dish, right? And have a way of people to try it and to talk about it and to talk it up a little bit, because again, that'll lift the confidence of the people who are doing it. And then people will have more camaraderie, but also they'll feel just a little bit more certain of themselves, and they'll feel a little bit more seen. And that's so important, right? When you are working in a group, if you're the leader, part of your job is to make sure that everyone on the team feels valued and valuable. I cannot tell you how important that is. It is so crucial to leading a team well. If your people feel like you're ignoring them, if they feel like you don't actually give a crap, if they feel like your head is in the clouds and you're not with them and really working with them and really leading them and really supporting them, well, A, they might leave, because people need good leaders, but B, they're not going to care. Why should they care, right? I mean, let me step back. There's some people who really care about their jobs and do what many people do. But if consistently they get no support from their leadership, after a while, even the most stalwart and loyal person is going to lose some interest. So one of the things that you as the leader can do to help your people become more creative thinkers and more innovative thinkers is support them. Give them that FaceTime, as they call it, one-to-one time. You can have meetings with them. Doesn't have to be long, 15 minutes once every 3 months, but just so that it's just you two one-on-one, and you can really listen and really hear them and really show them that you're listening and hearing them. And then as part of these meetings, you can ask them, hey, what are you curious about right now? And that brings us to curiosity. Curiosity is key to innovation and creative thinking. I wonder what this does. Imagine if we tried that. What would happen? That's all curiosity. That's the part of your brain that is going, yes, let's see something new. Let's get new input. Reminds me of that movie from the 80s called Short Circuit, about the little robot that was going, need more input. And that's really what it is, right? It is all about what's coming in so that we can then take it, mess it around in the soup of our brains, and bring out something brand new, and or building on the shoulders of giants. Because yes, you can say that there's nothing new under the sun, but at the same time, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we all got the opportunity to follow where our curiosity leads us? So helping people on your team be curious and supporting them in their curiosity about their jobs, about how things can be done better, about how things can be done more innovatively, about how they might actually be the person who comes up with that brainstormed idea that's going to change everything. So that's the second point, right? Confidence, curiosity, and then creativity. As I mentioned earlier, when we innovate, usually we're trying to think creatively to solve problems. And when we ethically innovate, we're doing it by trying to do the right thing, right? So if you're innovating, you're trying to do something different, trying to make something that hasn't existed before, which is the essence of creativity. So helping your people innovate by sort of supercharging and bumping up their creativity, their creative thinking. It's amazing to me that we don't think about it in this way, but we really should, because creativity in one facet of life actually translates to more creativity in other facets of life, right? So if you're a singer, for example, that part of you, and they've done studies on this at the NIH. If you're a singer, that part of you that sings, that part of you that remembers lyrics, that knows melodies, that wants to really blend with the people you're singing with, that wants to bring across the meaning of the song through this beautiful voice that you have, you're using a lot of the same creative powers of your brain. A lot of the same parts of your brain light up if they're looking at them, right? The NIH did the studies. They're actually, sticking sort of those little electrode things to people's heads so that they can see what happens to your brain when you're singing. And it turns out that what happens to your brain when you're singing is the same in many ways as what happens when you're innovating. And that is such a crucial little bit of information. So if you're singing or you're drawing or you're writing or you're painting or you're dancing, your brain is having to pull on multiple parts of itself. A lot of the same parts, by the way, that happen to light up when you're innovating. It needs to pull from memory. It needs to pull from motor skills. It needs to pull from language. It needs to pull from imagination. It needs to pull from curiosity. It needs to pull from memory. I might have already said that. I can't remember. But you see what I'm saying? The brain needs to pull from all of those different places. And it turns out, yeah, all of those same places are going to need to fire up in your brain when you're trying to innovate. So helping your people, if you're the leader, helping them explore their creativity, whether or not you get a workshop, whether or not you sponsor a day of creativity, finger painting, it doesn't matter what it is. You want to book a workshop with me? I'm happy to come to your company and do a workshop on creativity and creative thinking with your people. That kind of thing is important to us if we're going to innovate, if we're going to change the world, and if we're going to save ourselves and the planet. Let's just call it what it is. The last thing as a leader that you need to do is you need to support your people, right? I've said this before. You've heard me say this before if you're a longtime listener of the show. A leader's job isn't just to have the vision. In fact, I'm not sure that that's the leader's job at all. I think the leader's job is to support their people in how they do their jobs, right? You, in many ways, like I know a lot of leaders have egos about this. Oh, I'm the leader, and so therefore your job, all my people, is to make me look good. Untrue, untrue, untrue. Actually, your job as the leader is to make sure your people shine, if they are happy, if they love their work, if they feel valued and valuable, like I said, they're going to sort of by physics, they'll make you shine too, right? It's hard to explain, but because they shine, because they do amazing work, it'll reflect beautifully on you as their leader. So you don't have to push anybody. Instead, support them. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to push anybody. Instead, support them. Now, I've said that, and yeah, there might be people who want to game the system. There might be people who are not really interested in doing the work. Well, then that's a hiring, firing thing, right? If the person you've hired is actually not there to do great work, then that's something you have to deal with. If you're a leader of a small team yourself, if not with HR, either help them learn or discover what they can love about the job they're doing, or if they get plenty of warnings and nothing has worked, then maybe this is a time to either move them to a different position or maybe let them go. That part of leadership is tough, and you still absolutely need to look out for the team, the company, yourself, the mission of the leadership, whatever that is. You need to be looking out for all of that. And it all makes sense if you look at yourself as the person who is supporting your people to think creatively, to act with confidence, and to follow their curiosity. If you do that, I have a feeling you won't have that many problem people on your team anyway, because wow, wouldn't it be amazing if that were the case? I'd love to work in a place like that. But here's the thing. If the person is curious about something that has nothing to do with what they're supposed to be doing, again, you might consider moving them to somewhere where they can work on that curiosity if it's applicable. But if not, then you know that there are going to have to be some steps taken. But if they are, wow, if they get hired for one thing, like this happened to me, actually. Let me tell you a little story about the National Geographic Society when I worked there. I was hired back in the dawn of time to do admin work. And I'm a lousy admin, but okay. I was like, yes, I could do it. Why? Because it's the National Geographic Society. How could I not work there? And so I took the job, but I was doing photograph permissions, which meant that I got to see a lot of amazing photographs from these incredible National Geographic photographers. So I loved that part of it. But then I had to go and hunt people up in all different parts of the world to get permission to use the photographs of the things that the photographers had taken the pictures of. Oh, that was mind-numbing work for me. There are some people who are detail-oriented like that who would love it. This was not me. And so as I started doing more work, I started looking at What are the other things the Geographic does? Well, I was working at the educational media division and doing these photograph permissions. And I went, educational media, I love education. What else is going on? And I started volunteering. My leadership didn't ask me what I wanted. Instead, I took the sort of the initiative and did it myself. And I started volunteering. Hey, can I do that? Hey, can I be on this group, on this team that's going to be looking at Kids Network, which was a sort of a very rudimentary way of kids studying their local environment, doing science in their local environment, and then communicating that via this network that they had developed, which again, I ended up doing very similar work for NASA for over 20 years. But so there was that. And then by serendipity, somebody found out that Russian was my first language, and they were working on this is how long ago this was, the CD-ROM Atlas of the World, and they went and they needed a Russian speaker to say, «Добро пожаловать в Россию! Я надеюсь, что вам понравится путешествовать по моей стране», which means, «Hello and welcome to Russia. I hope that you will enjoy exploring my country». And so they said, «Isolde, you speak Russian, don't you?» And I said, «Yeah». And they went, «Wait, you have a nice speaking voice too». And I went, thanks, what's up? And they're like, how would you like to record this thing for us? And I went, sure. So I went in and I recorded it. And that started me doing a lot of voiceovers for a lot of National Geographic products. It was awesome. I loved the work. I love doing voiceovers to this day whenever I can. But I'm on a bunch of very early educational media, National Geographic products, because they found out I loved the work, they found out I was good at it, and they found out I wanted to do it. And so more and more, I moved out of that admin until I didn't do that at all, and moved much more into the tech side, into the voiceover side, into technical writing, and more creative work. I took the initiative, but wouldn't it have been cool if to begin with, someone had come to me and said, okay, you're doing this work and you're fine at it. Is there something else you'd really like to do? And if so, what is it? Wow, would that have been cool? I would have done double the work, right? For a little while, I was doing my admin work and doing all this other creative work that I'd sort of volunteered for. So I was working 70-hour weeks. But then when I was able to talk to them about it and they went, oh, no, this is, yeah, you're much better suited for this stuff, I got to let the admin stuff go. And ended up the last few years I was at the Geographic, I did all sorts of really cool technical, even scientific, and also creative work. And that was because I took initiative. But leaders, listen to me now. Find out if your people are doing the jobs they really want to do. If you love the people, if they are phenomenal people and good, great workers, and they're loyal and they're all this other stuff, ask them if what they're doing is what they really want to be doing. And if it is, great. And if it's not, see if you can elbow room them a little bit of space so that they can do more of what they love. First of all, you will get happy employees for life. But second of all, you are going to get people who want to do the right thing by the company and who are curious and who are delighted to do this work. So bear that in mind as you move forward. To innovate, you need to help your people feel like they can and will be rewarded for their curiosity, for their confidence, for their creative thinking. Alrighty. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode, and I should tell you that this episode is, as always, brought to you by Brain FM. I use it to actually spark my creativity. I meditate using it every day. It combines music and neuroscience to sort of boost your ability to think creatively, to focus. I use it when I have to do admin work, which, as you know, I'm not great at. I use it to meditate. I use it to help me sleep, all sorts of things. If you go to, in the show notes, brain.fm/innovativemindset and use innovative mindset, all one word, as the coupon code, you'll get 20% off. And because I'm an affiliate, I'll get a little bit of money too. But anyway, if you want to try it, I love it. I use it daily. Until next time, this is Isolde Trachtenberg for the Innovative Mindset Podcast, reminding you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2022. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind.